Sreja mi mana ma lenje liya ngar dile.
So good morning everybody.
Deri nga tu jago unzu shugi.
We'll start the function.
Mi lana me
for this day.
Chino kon sa chang chim. Tam gen jawa kun ni tushi ba chim cho la.
The supreme leader of Tibetans, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So today we are celebrating the 23rd anniversary of His Holiness the Dalai Lama's conferment of the Nobel Peace Prize for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So we'll first say the national anthems of India and Tibet.
Tene, lobdu namne, shidi, toyang biju. Kushu nara na, kushu nara. Sunday. Bangalore Loji, Kamasengi Lane, Pesung or Sungshan Nanji.
The representative of Southern Tibetan settlements.
Diga Jaga Lojo.
The chief representative of this Central Tibetan Administration for the Southern Tibetan Settlements. So today on this occasion of the conferment of the 23rd anniversary of the conferment of the Baptist Christ to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, I'd like to pay my respects to the Buddhist patient mind, and also welcome Sikyong, Dr. Lobsang Senge, and also
Ashok Singhal,
the Indian Minister,
V.S. Patel,
and representative of the Karnataka government, and also Gadinti Rinpoche, and the other monastics, as well as guests, and the chairpersons of the different NGO or CTA offices.
So on this occasion,
I welcome everyone on behalf of the Tibetan settlements in the south of India, particularly the
Mangkhut.
Today is a very joyous day for us who love peace and non-violence. So Alfred Nobel started this prize, Nobel Peace Prize for Peace. So, accordingly, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the 14th Dalai Lama, was awarded this prize for peace in the world and for struggling peacefully for Tibetan cause. This is the 23rd anniversary of that day in 1989. When His Holiness received the Nobel Peace Prize. So we pray that His Holiness will live long for the sake of all sentient beings, and particularly the people and beings of Tibet, and that may he be able to return to Potala again.
Your Holiness, Honorable Sikyong Dr. Lobsang Senge, most respected Shri Ashok Singhal Ji, Shri V.S. Patel, MLA Karnataka, eminent Rinpoches, Sangha, dear brothers and sisters. It is my privilege and honor to welcome today on the 23rd anniversary of conferment of Nobel Peace Prize to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of Tibet and Nobel laureate, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, who has most kindly accepted the request for gracing today's function, on behalf of the congregation here, and in particular the monastic institution and the public of Dogeling Tibetan Settlement, I submit to His Holiness our heartfelt greetings and seek His profound blessing and guidance for the occasion. It is my pleasant duty to extend my hearty welcome to most respected Shri Ashok Singhal Ji, Honorable V.S. Patel, member of Karnataka Legislative Assembly, other distinguished guests. We are most honored to have admit us on this auspicious occasion. We are also most fortunate that Honorable Sikyong Dr. Lobsang Senge, eminent Rinpoches, and many other eminent guests are with us. To them and members of the Sangha and the public, to everyone gathered here, I wish to extend a warm and hearty welcome. Thank you.
So,
so pay a silent respect for all the martyrs of Tibetan martyrs who gave up their lives for the Tibetan struggle. So 1 minute. Please sit down.
Tene Guru Chidi Andu Tetin Chone.
Andu Tetin, one Tibetan parliamentarian, will give read out the speech of the Tibetan parliament in exile. The incomparable protector and guide of all the beings, the champion of peace in the world, and the master of the complete teaching of the Buddha, and the trailblazer for showing the path of right and wrong paths. What are the wrong and right and wrong paths for all beings? So although the great qualities of His Holiness Dalai Lama is as vast as the space, we are here gathered to celebrate the conferment or reception of the Nobel Peace Prize by His Holiness. So, I'd like to greet Gaden Tirumbuchi and the rest of the great masters and monks and the former Garland Tipo of Tibetan people, Samdong Rinpoche, and the other reincarnate lamas, and also the monastics, and as well as school children, and the rest of the public. I would like to extend my Tashi Delek greetings to you. I'll not take much time, I'll be short, and read this speech from the Tibetan Parliament. I'll read it very quickly. So this day is a joyous day for all of us, especially people who love peace and nonviolence. His Holiness aspires to create a peaceful environment inside Tibet, and also has been working for peaceful resolution to the Tibetan cause, and also for environmental protection, and to resolve conflicts around the world on the basis of understanding of the sameness of all sentient beings, and has been giving teachings everywhere to create a peaceful atmosphere everywhere. So on this day in 1989, the famous Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama. And I also admire the three commitments of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and people everywhere in the world are taking heed of your advice. And everywhere around the world, people are supporting our just cause. Love and compassion and human values, not only limiting ourselves to material world, but material values, but also paying attention to the inner values, which His Holiness has been promoting around the world. People are actually heeding His advice. So all Tibetans, keep your advice in our hearts, and we follow your middle way approach to solve the problem of Tibet and keep our own heritage values. Today is the International Human Rights Day. Not only that, it is the 64th anniversary since the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was announced in the UN. Tibet and China have been neighbors. There's no question about it. But Tibet, China invaded and occupied Tibet. So while occupying Tibet, the whole of Tibet, the Tibetans are also tortured by the Chinese and are not, and Tibetan human rights for the Tibetans is violated. So the former leaders of China have not actually taken care of Tibetans well. But Tibetans have been rising up in peaceful demonstrations and protests against the Chinese injustice to our people. And people, over 80 people have now self-immolated, demanding rights to the Tibetans, freedom and rights to Tibetans. Journalists are not allowed inside Tibet. And also there is so much control and on the internet by the Chinese People's Republic of China government. And there are numberless Tibetans whose whereabouts are still unknown. And we would like to request the Chinese, appeal the Chinese government to stop all these atrocious treatment of the Tibetan people. So Tibetans are continuing their struggle demonstrations against the Chinese. So there's a great discrimination against the Tibetans and the Chinese rule. So whatever is happening inside Tibet, the Chinese government is responsible for all of them. So far, the Chinese government has not really responded properly, correctly, to whatever is happening inside Tibet, and therefore they are responsible for whatever is happening inside Tibet. And there are, we also appeal to release all the prisoners who are imprisoned unjustly, including the Tibetans, political prisoners, as well as Liu Xiaobo. So it's now a time to solve the Tibetan problem as soon as possible. So this year, the Tibetan Parliament started this peace, the torch of peace, which goes around the world. And we have collected 350,000 signatures from around the world, which we will present today on this day to the Security Department of the United Nations. Tibetan, we request everyone to actually take care of the Tibetan situation, knowing, evaluating the real situation inside Tibet and support us. We are also making requests everywhere. So Benjin, the 11th Benjin Rinpoche, Gyatso Trigyen Nyima, his whereabouts is unknown, and therefore the Tibetan Gashak, Central Tibetan Administration's, the Cabinet Ministry and the Parliament has actually made a resolution. So accordingly, we request the release of the Tibetan, the Benjin Lama. So Tibetans inside Tibet who self-immolate themselves, who have self-immolated them. So this is an indication that there is so much oppression inside Tibet. So the situation is very grave. So we have planned to start a movement. Including the Tibetans. January 2013, we are going to start a movement in demonstration from all Tibetans in Delhi. So this is going to be a peaceful demonstration by the Tibetans, keeping in view our own values of non-violence and compassion. And for 4 days, this is going to go on for 4 days in Delhi, starting on January 13. So also appeal all Tibetans to work hard for our freedom as prayed by His Holiness. I pray for the long life of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. Thank you. V.S. Patel, representative of the Karnataka government, the member of Legislative Assembly of Karnataka State.
ವೇದಿಕೆ ಮೇಲಿದಂತ ಹಿರಿಯರು ಗುರುಜಿಗಳಾದಂಥ ದಲಾಯಿ ಲಾಮಾಜಿಯವರ ನಮಸ್ಕರಿಸುತ್ತಾ ಹಿರಿಯರಾದಂಥ ಅಶೋಕ್ ಸಿಂಗಾಲ್ಜಿಯವರೇ, ವೇದಿಕೆ ಮೇಲಿದ್ದ ಎಲ್ಲ ಗಣ್ಯ ವ್ಯಕ್ತಿಗಳೇ ಮತ್ತು ಎಲ್ಲ ಗುರುಜಿಯವರೇ, ಬಂದಂಥ ಎಲ್ಲ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಬಂಧುಗಳೇ, ವರದಿಗಾರರೇ, ಇವತ್ತು 23ನೇ ನಮ್ಮ ದಲಾಯಿ ಲಾಮಾಜಿಯವರ ನೊಬೆಲ್ ಪ್ರಶಸ್ತಿಯ ನಿತ್ಯ ಇವತ್ತೊಂದು ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮವನ್ನು ಅಳವಡಿಸಿದಂಥವರಿಗೆ ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ನಾನು ಧನ್ಯವಾದ ಹೇಳ್ತಾ, ಈಗಾಗಲೇ TBTNS ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಸ್ವತಂತ್ರ ಸಿಗಬೇಕು ಅನ್ನೋ ದೃಷ್ಟಿಯಿಂದ 94 ಮಂದಿ ಆತ್ಮಹತ್ಯೆ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಂಡು ಈಗಾಗಲೇ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಂಜಲಿಯನ್ನು ಅರ್ಪಿಸಿದ್ದೇವೆ. ನಾವು ಇವತ್ತು ನಮ್ಮ CM ಅವರು, ಮುಖ್ಯಮಂತ್ರಿಗಳು ಬರಬೇಕಾಗಿತ್ತು, ಸೆಷನ್ ನಡೆಯುವುದರಿಂದ ಅವರು ದಲಾಯಿ ಲಾಮಾಜಿಯವರಿಗೂ ಮತ್ತು ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ಶುಭವನ್ನು ಹೇಳ್ರಿ ಅಂತೇಳಿ ನಮ್ಮನ್ನು ಇಲ್ಲಿಗೆ ಕಳಿಸಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ಅವರ ವತಿಯಿಂದ ಶುಭವನ್ನು ಕೋರ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೇನೆ. ಸಾಕಷ್ಟು 1959 ಇಸ್ವಿಗೆ ನೀವು ನಿರಾಶ್ರಿತರಾಗಿ ನಮ್ಮ ಭಾರತಕ್ಕೆ ಬಂದಾಗ ಹಿಂದಿನ ಸರ್ಕಾರ ಸಾಕಷ್ಟು ನಿಮಗೆ ಸಹಾಯ ಸಹಕಾರವನ್ನು ಕೊಟ್ಟು ನಮ್ಮ ಮುಂಡಗೋಡು ತಾಲೂಕು ಮತ್ತು ಬೆಳಕು ಮೈಸೂರು ಜಿಲ್ಲೆಯಲ್ಲಿ, ಕಾರವಾರ ಜಿಲ್ಲಾ ಮತ್ತು ಮೈಸೂರು ಜಿಲ್ಲೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ನಿಮಗೆ ಆಶ್ರಯವನ್ನು ಕೊಟ್ಟಂಥ ಸರ್ಕಾರ ಎಲ್ಲ ರೀತಿಯಿಂದ ಮೂಲಭೂತ ಸೌಕರ್ಯಗಳನ್ನು ಒದಗಿಸ್ತಾ ಇದೆ. ಈಗಿರುವಂಥ ಮುಖ್ಯಮಂತ್ರಿಗಳು CM ಅವರು
He is saying that in early 1970s, with the help of then Karnataka Chief Ministers, so Tibetan settlements were re-established in South India.
ಬ್ರಿಡ್ಜನ್ನು ಮಾಡಿಕೊಡುವಂಥದ್ದನ್ನು ಮಾಡಿದರು. ಮೊನ್ನೆ 70 ಲಕ್ಷ ರೂಪಾಯಿ ವಾಟರ್ ಸಪ್ಲೈ ಅಂದರೆ ನೀರಿನ ಸಂಬಂಧ.
And from the government's point of view, even the electricity, water supply and constructions of roads, so the government is providing any assistance, whatever is possible.
ನಮಗೆ ಇರೋದ್ರಿಂದ ನಾವು ನೀವು ಅಣ್ಣ ತಮ್ಮಗಳು ಆ ರೀತಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ನಡೀತಾ ಇದ್ದೇವೆ, ಅದೇ ರೀತಿ ಬಂಧತ್ವ ಮುಂದುವರಿಲಿ ಅಂತೇಳಿ ಏನು ಗುರುಗಳಾದಂಥ ದಲಾಯಿ ಲಾಮಾಜಿಯವರ ಆಶೀರ್ವಾದ.
And we are saying that we are always waiting for His Holiness precious visit to all the Tibetan settlements and to Karnataka.
tene ti samde ngaranzu usu pebe kunde ashok singhal chone samshu sungse naron shugi may I request ashok singhal to kindly address
kale On behalf of the global Hindu community and the entire Hindus of Bharat and especially the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, I offer my heartiest felicitations at the occasion of 23rd anniversary of the Peace Nobel Prize to our greatest spiritual leader walking on this earth planet. He has been a messenger of peace, messenger of compassion, affection and love. And we need this very much for the entire humanity residing in this planet. I had gone to Dharmashala at the feet, lotus feet of our greatest leader, spiritual leader, Param Pavan Dalai Lama Ji. I told him every 12th year in the Kumbh Mela, the spiritual leaders of all the different sampradayas, religious sects of our country, right from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, from Gujarat to Assam, they collect every 12 years all these religious sects. And this is the proper occasion when our Param Pavanji, he meets the big, our Jagat Gurus, and they also participate in the progress of giving the message of peace to the entire world. And if the message goes from the Kumbh Mela, we very much want that Param Pavanji should be present in the Kumbh Mela. And he readily agreed that he'll be present in the Kumbh Mela on the 3rd, 4th and 5th of February this year. I offer my pranams again and again at the peace of our Param Pavanji to give us blessings so that we may be successful in all our efforts. Namaskar.
Di samde, manju sorry, Kalmik sinzine.
The Kalmik president has a speech to announce, and I'm requesting Telu Rinpoche to come and read it. Kalmyk, the republic who is under Russia and being the leader of Buddhists, and today it has been 23 years since His Holiness was conferred the Nobel Peace Prize, and also Dr. Lobsang Singye, the political leader of Tibetan administration, and all the abbots, lamas, and all the sanghas, and all the general public and guests, to all the eminent public. I representing the president of Kalmyk Republic. With my deepest respect, I give my greetings to all of you. And today here, as I represent, there is a letter from Kalmyk president sent here, and may I have the right to read it. It's written in English, so may I have the right to read it in English, so I don't need to translate it.
On behalf of all citizens of Republic of Kalmykia, and from myself personally, I heartily congratulate you with the anniversary of awarding you the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989. The world community has highly appreciated your tireless preaching of humanity, love, and tolerance in the relations between people, communities, and nations. You make an exceptional contribution to the consolidation of spirituality and peace in the world. And please accept the warmest and sincerest congratulations from all the citizens of Republic of Kalmykia, along with the holiday of Zul, which is Ngamju. In these festive days, next to you, all pilgrims from all over Russia, including from the sunny Kalmykia, to get your blessings, hear from your own lips great teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni. The people of the steppe with great hope and faith are waiting for you in the Republic of Kalmykia with pastoral visit, which has with great importance for all of us for the further development of Buddhism in Russia. I wish you good health and long years of life. The head of Republic of Kalmykia, Alexey Maradovich Arlov. Thank you.
Tene, Pemi Dikzugi Sijong, Kemal Losan.
The Sikyong, political leader of Tibetan Central Administration, Dr. Lobsang Senge, I request him to address. The upholder of peace and the master of all the teachings, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and also the officials of Tibetan administration, the eminent guests of the eminent Indian guests, and also Tibetan devotees, and all the students. Today is the day of conferring the Nobel Peace Prize to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and it has been 23 years. And the Fundamental Right Day, Human Right Day of 60. And on this day, I pay my homage and respect to His Holiness, the Tibetans staying and all over the world, and all the supporters of Tibetan and the friends, I greet all of you. In 1989, His Holiness was conferred with the Nobel Peace Prize, and at that time it is written that His Holiness is the one who eliminated all the means of violence, and through the respect and harmony and through peace, and He has worked hard to bring the peace to the world, and so we revere Him. And through that, His Holiness' fame has spread to all parts of the world, and now His Holiness is known as the abode of compassion and peace. And we Tibetans, who are your sons and who are your disciples, and in you we have a great leader, and we consider is very fortunate. And it is a great sad for me to announce that since 2009 until today, about 95 people had self-immolated themselves, and just recently, one Tibetan was self-immolated. So in 2010, 23 people, 12 people were self-immolated, and in 2012, so till now, there are 82 people who have self-immolated themselves, and just in the last month, there happened to be 28 people who self-immolated them. So totally, it is 80 now. Since it started from a monastery, and now the Tibetan city of Lhasa and all the province of Tibet, the students and even the normal people are taking part in this. So this great sad and unfortunate incidents, and when such an incident is occurring, but Chinese government is announcing that the Tibetan people are staying in peace, so these are all false announcements. So since last many years, the Tibetan people have tried very hard through peaceful means of to restore and to speak out about fundamental rights. But till now, so till the March this year, and at that time, the Chinese government put a violent means of controlling and also scrap all the national dailies and televisions. And due to the blessings of His Holiness in 2008, it has been possible that the Tibetan people have taken out their various and of which is made from animal skins, and all these were burned. And it has been seen by all the people in the world. And on the same year, the Rongeng Adak, the great patriot, and as he, for his fundamental rights of speaking against the Chinese, so he was imprisoned for 8 years. So since many years, irrespective of all the provinces and people, so Chinese is imprisoned and tortured hundreds of years, and at that time, many hundreds of people were killed and being tortured at this moment. And even in 2008, when the Olympic game was held, of course, at that time it was affected. So similarly, there are many other activities, political activities and uprisings happening at present. And for the Tibetan youngsters and students, it is important to preserve the traditional language and classic resources. It has resulted in a lot of disturbance and protests in all parts of Tibet. And Lhasa and many parts of Tibet, and for 3 days, a congregation of Tibetan linguistic scholars and students have gathered together to protest against the Chinese rule. And they have undertaken a great initiative to protect the Tibetan traditions and cultures and languages. And the Tibetans have the right to preserve their language and traditions, and Chinese has oppressed upon it. And the situation is even worsening now. And the reason why there are so many self-immolations is due to the Chinese government's political views and also discrimination between the native peoples of Tibet and China, and also due to many other reasons. So there are still many ongoing protests requesting China to stop all these atrocities. And those people who self-immolated them, their two main ambitions or the initiatives were to welcome His Holiness to Tibet and to make the freedom and peace restored to Tibet. So it becomes a responsibility and task for them. And we also consider this an important task for ourselves. So the Chinese government going away from the truth and reality, and they're also criticizing the Tibetan administration system in India as behind all those things.
Beijing ne timdrin siju lakdar chigyu chabdu
And the Beijing government is, instead of following the constitutional procedures in the right way, but they are always avoiding the fact and reality and always fabricating stories. And since those initiatives were started in different countries and many people have engaged and took part in it and there have been a lot of resolutions being passed in different countries, Australia, Brazil, France, and even in Germany, Italy, and India, and also South African parliamentary members have extended their support and they have also spoken against those Chinese rules. And they have paid great interest to the Tibetans' current situation. And so I extend my deep thankfulness to all the those great people and the government and ambassadors and representatives and the United Nations, the High Commission of United Nations, United Nations Human Rights has announced on 2nd November that due to the disruption of human rights and non-respect to human rights in China, and she has spoken against this, and he has insisted that the fundamentals of human rights should be respected and it has to be utilized in. So she has urged everyone to follow those fundamental rights propaganda. And representatives of Chinese government, and they went to China and spoken with the Chinese representatives about these situations and also, of course, and the situation of Chinese, the self-determination nations in Tibet has to be looked into and they should pay interest and they should look forward to some solutions for that. The increasing number of self-immolations in Tibet and all the current problems. So for that, the French Parliament had set up a resolution on the 27 November that the Chinese government has respected so even though these are a positive progress but those Chinese governments and those Chinese government who discuss about those situations in Tibet has to consider that the situation in Tibet is worsening at that time and they have to mediate at this moment. And at this moment, the Chinese government must take all the responsibility for what's happening in Tibet. And if Chinese government take the responsibility and initiated the right measures, then these self-immolations will decline by itself. So in order to restore the and we have always been initiating steps in order to restore the problems and we are ready to hold dialogues with Chinese government and Tibetan Central Administration. Negotiations between CTA and Chinese government, we are always ready for that. And I'm also thanking all the foreign supporters and also the people in China who have extended support to Tibetan cause. And many people in Chinese who at present have remained silent on what's happening in Tibet and Tibetans' causes. I'm feeling sad for them. And what we are fighting for is what is being evident in the Chinese constitution that every country and every nation and the people within the People's Republic of China has the same right and fundamental rights. So we are asking for it. So this year, we have undertaken many resolutions and initiatives, and upon the basis on that, the year of 2013 is being to be considered as a year of solidarity for Tibetan's cause. And a lot of Tibetan supporter groups and environmental groups and even the governments and societies, they must all work towards passing resolutions and requesting Chinese government again to initiate the measures to control the situation in Tibet and improve it. And of course, the United Nations and the international media must get access to go into Tibet and to have the real access to what's happening there. Time magazine also. And we must request the medias and media person people to write articles and cover the events happening in Tibet. So I'm announcing this. The 2013 is a year of solidarity support for Tibet, and everybody must take part in it to celebrate and to consider it. And the 11th pension, Chugenden Chugenyama, at the time of 6 years old, he was captured by China. And at this moment, there is no news about whereabouts of him. And from the 30th of January to the 2nd of February, for 4 days, at the city, New Delhi City. And we will be arranging and protest march in New Delhi for 4 days, and all the government and non-government organizations will be attending to it. And the Indian government has been very kind to Tibetan people and all of us, and I want to thank to Indian government for their kindness. And of course, all the our beloved friends who are staying all part of the world, I wanted to thank to all of you. And at this moment, we are in much need of your kindness and help at this moment. And we are always behind all our Tibetan peoples in Tibet, and our unity and new initiatives, innovations, and self-sufficient. With the three, we want to, with the reserve, we wanted to work towards the progress of Tibet and Tibetan people in India. And finally, I pray for His Holiness long life, and may He has, may all His wishes be fulfilled. Thank you.
Your Holiness, the great 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet, patron of BHP, Ashok Singhalji, Honorable B.S. Patil, member of the Karnataka Lok Sabha, Karnataka Local Assembly, District Commissioner, Superintendent of Police, and others in the event today. We are gathered here today to commemorate the 23rd anniversary of the conferment of the Nobel Peace Prize to His Holiness the Dalai Lama and 64th anniversary of the International Human Rights Day. On this noteworthy occasion, Takasha pays his obeisance to His Holiness the Dalai Lama and extends his warmest greeting to all Tibetans, friends, and well-wishers around the world. The Norwegian Nobel Committee's citation for the 1989 Nobel Peace Prize to His Holiness the Dalai Lama emphasized His Holiness' opposition to the use of violence and his advocacy of peaceful solutions based upon tolerance and mutual respect. In the 23 years since receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, His Holiness the Dalai Lama's stature has attained such depth that his very name has become synonymous with compassion and nonviolence. Tibetans are incredibly fortunate to have someone like His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama as our most revered leader. On this occasion, we must focus our attention and concern on the current crisis engulfing Tibet. With enormous sorrow, I report that a total of 95 Tibetans have self-immolated in Tibet since 2009. Just yesterday, one more self-immolation took place. There were 12 self-immolations in Tibet in all of 2011. Now 82 so far in 2012, including 28 in the month of November alone. Sadly, 80 Tibetans have died. What began in the heavily sentineled monasteries has spread as nomads, students, and ordinary Tibetans in all three regions of Tibet, including Lhasa, the capital city of Tibet, joined the swelling ranks of people willing to set themselves on fire to protest conditions in Tibet. The self-immolations are a continuation of a sustained, non-violent Tibetan resistance against the occupation of Tibet and its repression of Tibetan people. They, however, represent a new threshold of Tibetan despair and resentment, and a worsening of the vicious cycle of unrest, repression, more unrest. Takasha attributes the self-immolation and current situation to the political and religious repression, economic marginalization, social discrimination, cultural assimilation, and environmental destructions of Tibet. As far as the Tibetan administration is concerned, our stand on self-immolation is very clear. As a human being, we don't want anyone to die the way self-immolators do. Hence, it's natural reaction to say, life is precious, so don't self-immolate. As a Buddhist, when self-immolation takes place and someone passes away, we pray for them. And as a Tibetan, we show solidarity to the self-immolators because they are doing it for Tibet. And as a Tibetan, we support the aspirations of Tibetan inside Tibet, including self-immolators. The aspiration being return of His Holiness the Dalai Lama to Tibet and freedom for Tibetans. Despite repeated appeals by the Tibetan administration, self-immolation persists. Their aspiration is the precious hope. Hence, it is the responsibility of Tibetans and friends outside to fulfill the aspirations. Therefore, we view it as our sacred duty to highlight the aspirations of Tibetans inside Tibet and also highlight the causes as to why self-immolation is taking place inside Tibet. The causes are continued occupation of Tibet, repression of Tibetan people, cultural assimilation, economic marginalization, environmental destruction, and religious repression. Unfortunately, the Chinese government has resorted to blame game. They blame that the self-immolations are taking place because it's instigated by from outside, by the Tibetan leadership. Unfortunately, what it truly reflects is that the failure of the hardline policies of the Chinese government, and it also reflects Beijing's failure to engage in legitimate policy options and to continue to rely instead on blame game. In my 10th March 2012 statement, I call on all Tibetans and friends to make 2012 a Tibet lobby year. Thanks to the dedicated works of Tibetans and friends around the world, we have achieved some success. The US Senate, European Parliament, Italian Parliament, and the French Senate passed resolutions on Tibet, and members of the Parliament in France, Italy, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Germany, India, Japan, South Africa, and others issued statements. Hence, the Tibetan administration expresses deep appreciation to the United Nations and various governments and parliamentarians for their support. Also, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Reporters Without Borders have also issued reports clearly concluding that the sole reason why self-immolations are taking place inside Tibet is because of the repressive policies of the Chinese government. Accordingly, CNN, BBC, and major media around the world have reported so. The UN High Commissioner on Human Rights, Nabi Pillay, recently issued an unprecedented call to Chinese leaders to urgently address the underlying grievances of the Tibetan people. She said, "Social stability in Tibet will never be achieved through heavy security measures and suppression of human rights." On November 2, she appealed to the Chinese government to seriously consider the recommendation made to it by various international human rights bodies, as well as to avail itself of the expert advice being offered by the UN independent experts on human rights. The above actions by various governments and institutions are a welcome, positive development. We urge all foreign governments engaging in human rights dialogue with China to acknowledge that the situation in Tibet has worsened. We urge them and the international community to intervene to end the crisis in Tibet. If Beijing ends repression of Tibetans, then self-immolation will abate. The CTA remains steadfastly committed to the middle way approach and to the resumption of dialogue between Beijing and Dharamsala to resolve the issue of Tibet. The responsibility as well as the solution for the current crisis in Tibet lies with the Chinese government. We appreciate the support of some of our Chinese friends and various Chinese NGOs based outside China, but remain deeply disturbed and saddened at the silence and seeming indifference of most Chinese people, particularly that of Chinese intellectuals and public thinkers, to the sufferings of the Tibetan people. Tibetan struggle is neither anti-China nor anti-Chinese people. What Tibetans seek is freedom and genuine autonomy as enshrined in the Constitution. I appeal to all our Chinese brothers and sisters to join us in supporting the aspirations of the Tibetan people. Let us build on the successful lobbying efforts of 2012 by launching a Solidarity with Tibet campaign in 2013. I urge all Tibetan associations, Tibet support groups, international NGOs, people of all faith and friends to continue to lobby governments and parliaments for Tibet and the Tibetan people. Organize rallies and vigils, particularly in capital and major world cities. Please call on the Chinese government to allow international media access into Tibet. Time magazine listed Tibetan self-immolation as one of the most underreported stories of 2011. Let us alter that by reaching out to the media and encouraging them to write and broadcast about what is happening in Tibet. In closing, Tibetan administration offers its undying gratitude to the people and government of India for their generosity, hospitality, and assistance to the Tibetans for these many years. We also extend on behalf of all the Tibetans. Profound appreciation to our old and new friends around the world. Your outspoken and resounding support is needed more than ever. To our brothers and sisters in Tibet, we are with you every step of the way. The three principles of unity, innovation, and self-reliance will guide us towards our goal of seeing His Holiness the Dalai Lama return to Tibet and restoring freedom for Tibetans. Finally, the Kasha and I join the people of Tibet in wishing His Holiness the Dalai Lama continued good health. May all his wishes be fulfilled. Thank you.
And this is John Chogi. Song Shake Jesu. Consider young Christian Chogi, Love Jane Zedinla, Gretchen Jedin, Swinche.
Next is as a token of gratitude to His Holiness Dalai Lama's. Kindness for the Tibetan nation, Tibetan people. The former Tibetan Kalin Tipa will read out the citation of the award being conferred upon His Holiness the Dalai Lama by the Geluk International Geluk Foundation. So His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who is the Lord of the entire complete teaching of the entire teaching of the Buddha, and my abbot or precept master of the Bhikshu vow. And all the monastics, Kundang Tenpi Dome has said, the Master Tsongkhapa in his past life, during the time of the Buddha, made an offering of rosary, a crystal rosary to the Buddha, and the Buddha actually offered a conch shell and prophesied that in the future he would promote the teaching of the profound view of emptiness, together with the combined with the tantra. So at that time, the Indian person offered 101 crystal malas to Buddha Dharma, and the Buddha made this prophecy. There will in the future in a monastery by the name of Gedin will this child who has given me this 101 crystal rosary will be born as a person by the name of Lobsang. And he praised the place where Master Tsongkhapa would later set up the garden monastery. During the time of the Buddha, the Naga king Anavatapta offered a white conch to the Buddha, and the Buddha gave this to Moggallana and told him to conceal it under the earth to hide And then it was entrusted to the spirit of that land in Tibet. And later, during the time of the Buddha, Master Tsongkhapa, this same conch was unearthed by Master Tsongkhapa. And in 1414, Master Jamyang Chögyen Drishipalden was told by Master Tsongkhapa to establish the Drepung Monastery. And accordingly, this white conch, which was unearthed by Master Tsongkhapa from Gokpa Ri, the Mount of Gokpa Ri, was offered to this founder of Drepung Monastery. And this year is the 610th anniversary since the Lamrim Chemo was written by Master Tsongkhapa. And this same conch which Jerembuche offered to Jamyang Chögye has been with us during the teaching all the way through. Here in Gumankot. So after the Parinirvana, after the passing away of the Buddha, when Indra offered the a white conch to the Buddha, Buddha actually is said to have blessed it to be an auspicious object, and therefore there is a special connection between this white conch is symbolic. So during this time, when His Holiness has come to Simankot to give the teaching on Lamrim, this graded path to enlightenment, so the kindness of His Holiness the Dalai Lama is much greater than all the Buddhas for us. Tibet has come under the occupation of China, and the situation is we are at a very critical juncture in our history. Despite that, His Holiness the Dalai Lama has led the Tibetan people and also attracted the attention from people around the world. So, His Holiness the Dalai Lama's enlightenment activity is greater than all the enlightenment activities of the Buddhas put together. So we are today offering His Holiness this award, which has a white conch shell, topped with white conch shell. And may His Holiness the Dalai Lama live long, and His enlightened activities spread throughout the world. So just as Yashamar Pandita has prayed, may this prayer be fulfilled. So the globe topped with white conch is being offered to His Holiness the Dalai Lama by Gaden Trirampoche. Muy gusto, Junzer. Next, the leader of 6 million Tibetans, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, on this occasion now, His Holiness Dalai Lama will give speech. The regent of Master Tsongkhapa, incomparable Dharma Master, Gajantri Rinpoche, and also the two Sherzen Zhangzi Chöjis, who are next to the Garden Tipa. And also we can say that here we are in this gathering, we have the four Sangha members, Bhikshunis and Upasaka, the lay lay persons with vows. So all the Sangha members and the Ashok Singhal, Sri Ashok Singhal, who has come here especially for this occasion, and he is dedicated to the Tibetan cause. He's always asking Lobsang Singhi to translate to him. He's old, of course. He rather but he came to the Dharamsala and requested me to come to the Mahakumbh Mela, which is a grand occasion that happens every 12 years, a Hindu. So for many years he has someone who has an old person who has been my friend, a very dear friend, and with this spirit of strong, firm friendship, when he made his request to me, I replied with a yes to him. And then the local MLA, member of Legislative Assembly of the Karnataka government, the Chief Minister of Karnataka, was one of the ministers of this state told me that the Chief Minister of Karnataka would come here, but because of some other engagement in the Legislative Assembly of the Karnataka state, he could not be present here. But I would like to thank him for his attention, his kindness. Since my childhood, the Garden Podang of the Tibetan or the Tibetan government I had found, of course it may have been befitting at that in those days, but I have since my childhood seen lots of shortcomings and drawbacks in the Tibetan government system. And I had thought of changing the system. I had made this thought since I was 13 or 14 years. And at the age of 16, when I took the political responsibility authority under it was an urgent situation under which I had to actually take on that responsibility. So since 13 or 14 years of age, I had this thought to make some change in the Tibetan government. And so when I took on the political responsibility in 1950, and after that, I started, a reform committee in Tibet, and we started some reform. But at that time, in those days, the Chinese government, with whom we made, we had the 17-point agreement, and Tibet was, Tibet became an autonomous region under the Chinese. And we already had been using the term the regional Tibetan government and the central government, which refers to the Chinese government. And therefore, the Chinese government had the Communist Party had the they were holding the authority over us. So, therefore, although we started our reformation, we could not work much, do much in reforming, in bringing reforms in our communities. We did make some reformations, like changing the taxation system, and which was not fair in those days. So the Chinese government wanted to make a change inside Tibet, according to their own plans, which they have started in China proper. But they found that if the Tibetans themselves made changes, which would in fact befit the Tibetans, they found that their own reformation plans would be hindered if the Tibetans were allowed to make their own reformations. And therefore, they objected to our reform plans. And then when I went to China in 1954 and met in Mao Zedong, I had great hope at that time. And I personally admired the economic system under Marxism, which was quite befitting for the general public. And I also it was quite a fact that a reality that Mao Zedong was a great person who worked for the common people. And there was in the 17-point agreement, there was an agreement. One of the points was to establish a military department in Tibet from the Chinese. And Mao Zedong said, leave that out, but what about starting another thing in Tibet? And So rather than establishing a military base, Mao Zedong suggested for autonomous region of Tibet to establish an autonomy in Tibet, and that was agreed on by other Tibetan dignitaries as well, who said that this is a very good idea. And so the elderly people who are maybe here may remember this. So in any case, we could not carry on our reforms, reformation. In 1959, I came to India, and then in 1960, we started the democratization of the Tibetan governments. And then we actually practiced democracy, democratic system in governments. And in 2000, we had an elected leadership in with Venerable Samdong Rinpoche as the first elected Kalun Tepa. For 2 5-year terms, he was the Kalun Tepa elected leader of the Tibetan people, and during which time I had been rather in a semi-retired position with regards to the leadership. And then in 2011, we had this another election, the third election for the Kalun Tepa, and I found that Tibetans have gained greater awareness of the system that we have been following, the democratic system we have been following, and they were very enthusiastic about this. And therefore, I, last year, I devolved the political responsibility, which has been in which the Garden Potong has been holding both the political and religious, temporal and religious spiritual leadership for almost 400 years. This must change, of course. And in the past, many of the countries in Tibet had kings and emperors or queens and so forth as their leaders. But because the world is changing, and the countries belong to their people and not leaders or religious leaders or kings and so forth. Because a country belongs to, a nation belongs to the people, therefore its administration also must be done by the people. Therefore we need to have an elected leader. And that elected leader of the people, who a leader who is elected for the people, by the people, and is a very good system of governance. And therefore, in 2011, I retired fully from the political responsibility. And we have here Sikyong Losang Senge, the elected leader of the Tibetan people, is here present at this occasion of the 23rd anniversary of the Nobel Peace Prize, and he also gave a very powerful speech. Which shows his real concern for the Tibetan people. So I always tell this. The fact that I retired, I have devolved my political responsibility, is not because I am discouraged and feel helpless about, hopeless about the Tibetan cause. So this decision, my decision, is not because of these reasons. So people, Tibetans in exile, of course, trust me. And Tibetans inside Tibet, over 90%, or 80 or 90%, put their trust in me. And therefore, so I voluntarily and proudly and happily made this decision to devolve the political responsibility. So it's not, I have not done it out of feeling hopelessness and discouragement. So please feel happy about this. And then, since I have been semi-retired from the political responsibility, the Golden Tepa has been taking the responsibility on the political side, regarding the political matters. And since I completely have retired from the political responsibility last year, now with regard to the political matters, where we need to make things clear to the people, announcements and so forth, should be done by the Galun Tiba, the Sikyong Lobsang Senge. In the last few decades, when I saw the situation inside Tibet, inside the world, of course, there's so much material advancements, which is, of course, needed. We are not sufficient. In India itself, we see lots of people who are poor and destitute. Southeast Asia or Southeast or Africa or South America. So there are many people, even in America, there are people who are, there are many poor people still. Therefore, we need material progress and advancement. But wherever we look around the world, east, west, north, south, most people don't take care or they don't pay attention to the inner values. They are more attracted to the external values. And therefore, today, many medical scientists and also neuroscientists who are very renowned are now recognizing that in order to have good health, one of the most important factor is a calm mind. If you have a calm mind, then the physical elements also are balanced, and therefore people have good health, physical health. So this is not, they are not saying this out of some religious faith or anything, but from their own research over a long period of time. And many brain scientists also say that if you are compassionate, then there is greater amount of flow of blood to the brain side, which is used for constructive purposes. Whereas, the destructive emotions actually also trigger more blood into the movement in the brain parts, which have to do with destructive emotions. And so we all have the same view. There is this view that in modern education, the means to cultivate or bring peace of mind or training of mind is lacking. This is said everywhere in America, Europe, and India. And then many people who are business people, rich people, who in the 70s or 80s were not so interested or taking interest in this matter. Later in the 80s, 90s and 2000 and in the new millennium, then many of these business people also I have been meeting, whom I have been meeting, talk about this fact. So when we... Of course, when we meet, I have nothing to offer them in terms of business and market. If I were to make any kind of advice to them or to do something about economics and finance, then we would be bankrupt within a week, I've been telling them. So I've not been meeting them for some economic purpose, but the reason why I meet them is because it is their experience that is peace of mind cannot be brought about only by money. And therefore, I meet them to learn about the economics, to build this peace of mind. In democratic countries, where this rule of law and openness or freedom of press and so forth, of course, the system itself is not wrong, but because of the system, the people, if the people lack this universal responsibility to take concerned about the rest of the people of the nation, then we, of course, lack something, which is the inner values, morality. This is something people have now become aware that we are lacking in the modern education. And people are actually showing interest in concerns about promoting this inner values. Love and compassion is something which is taught in all the religious traditions. But when we talk about promoting love and compassion, if we are to rely on some religious tradition, then it would not be universal, will not actually take into account or cover the people who are non-believers. And therefore, what we have to resort to is that of secular ethics. And by using our common experience, on the basis of our common experience and also scientific finding, and according to scientific findings, people know that peace of mind is essential for physical health as well. And so, in secularism is something that has been practiced in India, which is very good. And secularism, according to the Indian context, means that respecting all religions as well as those without religion, non-believers. So we are using such a secular ethics to promote human values, compassion and peace of inner peace. So the religious traditions, which teach love, compassion, tolerance, contentment, of course, are very helpful to millions and millions of people, but there are cases where, in the name of religion, there is sectarianism and also conflict and fighting amongst people. So we have to make sure that the religion does not become a cause for such things, such destructive things. And so we can do that. If we look at the example of India, for example, in India there have been so many different homegrown religions and also many religions, major religions from the other parts of the world have actually immigrated to India and are well established and found a home in India. And therefore, all the major religions of the world are present in India. So, on a general scale, generally speaking, these religions, traditions, have this tradition of respecting one another. And so, we can take the example of India in this world. This is not something which has come up in the recent decades or recent years, but it's been here for the last over 1,000 years, and so it is possible for us to have respect and harmony between the religions, among the religious traditions, because we can do this in India. If we can do this in India, we can do this everywhere. So the Tibetan struggle is for the Tibetan people, the whole of Tibet. And therefore, the Tibetan people should take the responsibility for our cause, and we can do it. But I am dedicating myself for promoting human values and religious harmony in the world. So I've been working on this, and it is if I dedicate myself to these two commitments that I have, then it will, of course, help the Tibetan cause as well. Whereas the political responsibility regarding the political matter regarding Tibet, it should be taken, carried on by the politically elected person. So as long as I live, I will do my best to serve the people of the world, which will, of course, help the Tibetan cause. So I'm very happy that I have made this decision. For many years, I have had this wish to democratize the Tibetan governance, and a long-cherished goal has been fulfilled. And therefore, I ask you to stay happily, to be happy and relax. And today, in exile, we have these great monastic institutions in the Mysore or Karnataka state. In 1956, when I came to celebrate the 2,500th year of the Buddha's Parinirvana, at that time, Mr. Nichalingappa from Karnataka, who took great interest in the Tibetan issue, was there in the Indian government. And then after coming to exile in 1959, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru sent letters to different states of India to offer land for Tibetans to settle, to rehabilitate Tibetans. And the first response to the letter from the central Indian government came from Mr. Nichalingappa at that time. From Karnataka state. And so I have been able to give this teaching on Lamrim in Mount God this time. And you have also, you have as a token of gratitude from the Tibetan people, you have offered me this award. The symbolism is also seems to be very good, the symbols, and Samdong Rinpoche's citation also is very inspiring. I would like to thank you for this award. To the school children, day after tomorrow, we'll meet again separately. You are our future Tibetan. You are the ones who has the responsibility for Tibet, for future Tibet. Of course, the elder people also have the responsibility, but the young children may live longer, perhaps. So what our future will be depends much on the present. What has happened is already gone. We cannot do much about the past. So we may have done, if we have done something good, we would appreciate or admire, rejoice. If we have done something bad, then we would have to regret them. Otherwise, nothing else. But you children, we came to we Tibetans came to into exile in 1950, April 1959, And we, in the, right in the beginning, we didn't actually haste to set up monastic institutions, but we mainly focused on setting up schools. So we didn't put much effort in obtaining land for monasteries and so forth, but we set up, but we actually focused on setting up these schools. Because of lack of modern education, we actually suffered. And therefore, as soon as we came into exile, we started giving modern education to our children. And since modern education alone is not sufficient, therefore, we needed also the traditional education as well. And therefore, we requested the Indian government to set up schools for Tibetan children separately to, and therefore Mr. Nehru also took full responsibility to set up such schools. And Dr. Lobsang Tsenge was born in India, brought up in India with rice and dal, and then he also was got education at Harvard University. It's a great famous university, and did his degree, doctorate degree from, got his degree from there, and therefore it's been, he has a good role model, and we will meet again. So I have nothing much more to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
아
내신도 개와 대자 전부 반대 대거분 배치대 전부당 간대 넘버 제벨링 세양 리스 마제베 벽에 넘버 주기 전부 사계 간인 시절기 군대가 옆에 뛰네 대신도 개와 전주 라브른 전부 송주 섭지 같은 장신배 갑들 하자 시시 중에 영조 땜뱅하다 라자 카워를 반 남기 디지 권접라나 마체바 사버 초다 리스 마체베 최당 겐로 찌라캬베 시대당 참바당 닝제 람상 뜸바보 겸군 야완 탐제 전진 세과 진보 초기 제블링 시대 대변 첨부로 제년다 체베 노벨 시대 생다 불시에 제베 롱오 녀숨 코르베 가드 되진 대신 제블링 초다 카도 텐데 순지 슈셴베 갑들 야갈 호주 몽고 베미도가 딜양 고딕슈베 제고딜 먼직 순듭게 텐데도 광사 초 꾸응외수 샤쿠의 깨진 장진 망소수 겐주 태윤당 지게 최당 직된라 펜베 샘기 시대 공토 동고 당 출로 튼디고 깔롭 남든 순구 되지 숙보로 Jonang Zebe, Kesandil, Puri Goma Jone, Gade Tosumgi, Dinji, Yanjigu, Ning Taban, Chadaji, Tuze Kadin Chela Shujin. Dinde Tendelgi Tendel Gadungi, Zego Jajimbo Dishin, Toda Parsundu, Labor, Dube Chajendu, Genden Tempe Zugin, Kabji Ganden Tijin Rimbuji, Choki, U, Shajangu Chuji Namni Tang. Kalun Tisu Lobin Chimbo, Sandor and Boje Chodang, Pandin Sujon Lonson Singh Chok, Debon Sojangi, Kimbo Kude Tang, De Lolingi, Kerem Boje Zebe, Denzaki, Kimbo Lesu Nambadang, Shayan Chujuka, Lodudan, Gaveshin Yendang, Gendin Dubajazu, Senju Pemin Duzuki, Desun Kalun Chodang, Kuru Chidu Nabazebe, Pemin Duzuki, Leje Tang, Lesur. Chedupebe, Anni Yagagi, Kundu Asho Single Chodang, Tuner Mbuchi, Dana Shinki, Richard Gericho, Pune Pepe, Chushuwa Namdang, Chija Yudun Kane Pepe, Chushuwa the Dadi, Zego Dir, Pepe Nangwa Latene, Chungwe, Samala Tuji Chuguin. Tiringi Nimodi Nimodi La Jeji Drome, Totang Nimodang. Pudin Dunsu Nyamji Sunzi Chebe Nimoyang Nyamkil Cheba Dir, Senju Pime Dizuki, Pandin Sigyong Losan Singi Cho, Chedungane, Mungo Zego Dir Pebne, Chepsi Lerimta, Jashin Kontur de Bekalop, Nangwa Tuji Chuguin. Sheyang, Mixer Kundun, Kanataka Nade, Chozo Tumi, VS Patil, Kugur Lenje, Zego Dir Pepsuki, Pime Kitu Nyamyo Nande, Tundi Nyamrugu Bekalop, Nangwa Tuji Chuguin. Pumi Pumi Kuru, Chidu Andu Sidin, Lane, Chidu Langang, Sundin Pepper, Nyendon Nawala Tuji Shugin. Hojo Shija Kang and Chija Hoji Kungo Kamasinki Chone, Kundan Nambala Kusudan, Tujang Water Gusunja Nawala Tuji Shugin. Zego Dir Jagar Sane Puri, DC, M. Kongla Jamir Chodang, Tanashi AC, B. Gotham Cho, SP. KT Balakrishna Cho, Tana Shingi, additional DSP Cho, Taluka Panchayat Gitundin Naba, Tasil Dar, Shayang, Himbu Dazeg, Zade Sobatang, Baratipa Sayo Manjiki, sold to me Naba, Tana Shingi, the Nyakurgi, Tronsev Kaki, Tundin Naba, Che Tama Tiring, Gadun Zego Tiring, Piminam Dolan Yamjunawala, Tujija Shugi. Gadun Tende Zego Dir, lobjo nabadang samyo chokba mema nejan lugar ge chaba benan jaba la tu jije shu gyin janjo laron songju godi sojo ne dejen ge jego dir tunju na wala tu jije shu gyu dang ge che shu debon losa lin ta jang ge jego di ta de dang kundun nabadang mema yon la nyungun ge sodi godi sabje nangju yin bala mongo dugul ni goma yong ge sab shu ne debon losa lin ge keren bo cheda changju gindun yon la nyenyin ta wan ne tu jije shu gyin Tamar, Sergia Mima Yonla, Dujin Sumzon did it, someone Yamzon Chumber, two judges of a tone, didn't get Zago Yagan and the Joy, two judges.